Good morning. Today's Daf and Yuma Peches. We are in Pei Zayin Amud Beis. We are starting with Tanu Rabbanan. About a quarter of the way down. Okay. We are finishing up the Masechta today. It's Hashem. And it's a big simcha. Tomorrow, we start with Sukkah. What an excitement. The Gemara starts off Mitzvah Vidui. So here, as we now approach the end of the Masechta, so some of the most basic discussions, which for whatever reason, is consolidated into not even a daf of the Masechta. But again, for us, Yom Kippur, unfortunately, we no longer have a vodah. And for us, the Yom Kippur day is highlighted by tefillah. And so for us, this is a big deal. But obviously, when there's the Beis HaMikdash and there's the avodah, so obviously all the focus goes on the avodah. Okay, but anyway, so we know that that Yom Kippur is a day that's mechaper. So already we were exposed to that idea back in the Mishnah on Pei Hamid Beis. And so since then, Pei Vav, Pei Zayin, and now today's Daf Pei Ches. So we're continuing along the lines of Yom Kippur being a Yom Slicha V'Kapara. And as a result of that, so how do you receive a Kapara? So Shitas Rebbe, which we saw already twice in this Masechta, is that you don't have to do anything. You just, in other words, you experience Yom Kippur. The experience of Yom Kippur in of itself is a Mechaper. That's Shitas Rebbe. But meanwhile, of course, we don't follow like Rebbe. We hold that on Yom Kippur, not only do you need the day of Yom Kippur, but you also need Tshuva as well. And part and parcel of Tshuva, of course, is Vidui. Right? You have to be Misvada. You have to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu what you did and how you're going to correct. We already had some basic machloksim that we already saw again yesterday, stuff 2 days ago. Do you have to repeat Vidui on Averas that already well in the past and Baruch Hashem are in your rearview mirror? And you have to repeat Vidui on that? So that was a machlokus between the Tanayim. Do you have to be mefarad esachet? You have to specify exactly what you did. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what you did, but you have to articulate that as part and parcel of the vidui. That also is a machlokes tonight between Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and Rabbi Akiva. So there are some very basic questions in terms of what the vidui is going to be. But meanwhile, vidui obviously is a core component of the tshuva process. So when are you going to say the vidui? So the answer is very simple. The chachamim just simply incorporate into the tefillah. We're davening on Yom Kippur. We're davening a lot on Yom Kippur. So every time we daven, we're going to incorporate it into the tefillah. Not only, we're going to see this in just a moment. I'm just giving an intro. Not only are we going to incorporate it into the tefillah, but what the chachamim are going to do is they're going to put it in the shtilah shemona esrei, that tefillah slachash. They're going to put it in the chazar zashat. So every time we're davening, so both by the silent and by the repetition, we're going to be saying vidui. That's already two times. How many times are we davening on Yom Kippur? Five times in total. That's a lot of vidui. Good. That's a lot of vidui. That's exactly the point. That's Yom Kippur is going to be a Yom of Kapara. And together with that is going to be a lot of vidui. As we're going to see in just a moment, there's an additional vidui that's said, and that is going to be Erev Yom Kippur. And Mincha Erev Yom Kippur. So an additional vidui that's added. We're going to see that together. Okay. It's a fair enough introduction. Let's begin. Tanu Rabbanu, we learned in a Braisa. Mitzvahs vidui erev Yom Kippur mechashecha. So the mitzvah vidui is, of course, on the onset of Yom Kippur, which of course is the night. In other words, once the sun sets and however long Bein Hashemashos is, whenever Bein Hashemashos is, but in other words, you're going to get to a point of Laila, and it's at that point in time that the mitzvah, the Yom of Yom Kippur begins, and the mitzvah vidui begins. Aval amru chachamim, but the chachamim said, I have a great strategy, and that is yisvad dekodem sheyochav yishteh. So you're going to go into Suda Mafsekis, but what you should do is you should say Vidui before Suda Mafsekis. Now, obviously, it's not Yom Kippur. Obviously, it's the ninth day of Tishrei, but Shemit Titarav Data Besuda. But the problem is that you might have Tirav Hadas when it comes to the Suda Vafapi. And Rashi points out over here, right? The Shemit Titarav Data Mach Mashichras. In other words, what's going to end up happening is you're going to have a big meal, and together with that big meal, you're going to drink a lot. Okay, it doesn't seem prudent, but neither here nor there. And so the problem, of course, is that you're going to go now into Yom Kippur in the state of Shechros, having not properly said Vidui, so saying Vidui beforehand is going to somehow help. And now, V'alfa b'shi yitzvadim kodim sha'acha v'shasim yitzvad al'acha shi'ocha v'yishteh, shema irer dava kekala b'su'udah. Now, even though you said Vidui before the Suda, say Vidui after the Suda. Presumably, the Gemara here is making reference to Ma'ariv, right, on Lol Yom Kippur. The Alpha Bishi Yisvada Arvis Yisvada Shachris. Now good, so you said Vidui during Ma'ariv, say in the morning, Shachris Yisvada Musaf. And then say it again in Musaf, Musaf Yisvada Bemincha. Say it again in Mincha, Bemincha Yisvada Benila, say Vidui again in Neila. Veheichan Omro. Now, where's the vidui going to be said in the Shmoneh Esrei? So it depends if we're talking about the silent Shmoneh Esrei, where the Gemara refers to as the Tfilas Yachid, or the Tfilas Tzibur. So Yachid Achar Tfilaso. So as far as the Yachid is concerned, so that's going to be after the Tfilah, and the Vishlech Tzibur Omar Be'emtza. And the Shlech Tzibur is going to be saying it in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei. That's the way we do it. Right, we've all gone through the Yom Kippur. We're all familiar. So the vidui at the and our silent Shmoneh Esrei is always at the end, right? Right, various menhagim, right? Machlokas, whether you say Yehula Atzon before the vidui, after the vidui, but anyway, but it comes at the end of it comes at the end of Shmoneh Esrei. Meanwhile, the Tefillah B'Tzibur, not mincha erev Yom Kippur, it's not. But in other words, but by all the tefillahs of Yom Kippur, there's going to be a vidui. The vidui is b'soch. It's right in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, what is the vidui going to be made up of? What is it comprised of? My Amar. So the Gemara is going to bring down a number of Amarayim, a half a dozen Amarayim. We're all going to have various menhagim of what the vidui should be comprised of. So Amar Avatayu De Razei Olam Shmuel Amar Mimake Alei Velevi Amar Vesoros Chakas Uvlemor. And I'm just going to run through this. These are various psukim. Some of them are tefillas. Rav Yochanan Amar Ribon Olam, Rav Yehuda Amar Kevinasen Rabu Milimnos Vechatasenu Atzma Misaper. Good. So various opinions amongst the Amorayim. What you should say. And here we have a sixth opinion. Rav Amnuna Amar Lokai. Achelon Atzarti Eni Chedai Echshashin Atzarti Kilo Atzarti Afarani Bechayai. Kavachomer Bimisasi Arein Alfanecha Kichlim Alei. Busha uchlima yirtzom lefanecha, shalovacheta umashichata asi merok berachamecha, avaloa yidei yisurim. Okay. Hopefully it sounds familiar. In other words, we obviously take this nusach and incorporate it into our vidui, so should sound familiar. Okay. And please forgive me, I'm not going to go through each one and translate each one right now, but in other words, again, the theme of every one of this obviously has to do with vidui. I'm sure that there are going to be subtle differences between each selection that was chosen by each Amara, and obviously there's going to be nuances. But this is a Daf Yomi, and right now we're not going to be covering any of the nuances. Okay, good. The Hainu, now it happens to be that we just went through the Vidu of Rav Hamanuna, which the Gemara quotes more of a selection from. And the Gemara points out that this vidu of Rav Hamnuna that he said specifically in Yom Kippur, v'hainu vidui de Rav Kula Shasa. It happens to be that Rav said that vidui the whole year. U'de Rav Hamnuna Zuta b'yom de Kippur. And Rav Hamnuna Zuta said it on Yom Kippur. Okay. Amar Mar Zutra. One more word on this vidui that we're saying on Yom Kippur. And that is, l'amar ne'ela de lo amar aval anachtu chatanu. Now, all these various nuschaos that we say on Yom Kippur that we've just went through, the half dozen positions. So Mar Zutra says that's only if I don't say Aval Anachnu Chatanu. Aval Amar Aval Anachnu Chatanu. But once you say Aval Anachnu Chatanu, so lo tzarich. So then it's not necessary to say any of the above. Right? Aval Anachnu Chatanu, that gets right to the point. Right? In other words, we sinned. That's vidui. The Amar Bar Hamadudi, Avakamina Kamid Shmuel, and the Gemara says, I'll tell you, Maisa Rav. Maiserav regarding Shmuel, and that is that I was in front of Shmuel. V'havi Yosef v'chimat shlichet tzibura, and so somebody got up there for the Amar. V'amar Aval Nachnu Chatanu, and so he said Anachnu Chatanu. Now I don't know where we are right now. In other words, we're sometime in Yom Kippur. Where are we holding right now? By Mariv, by Ni'ila, by another Tefillah, and it's unclear. But the Shlech Tzibur said the words Aval Anachnu Chatanu. And kamekam, and Shmuel said, okay, good. Yossi Zayin with vidui, we're good. Now, where did he get up and where did he go? So I don't know. If it's Ne'ilah, maybe he went home. I'm again just simply unclear. But the point is from the story is that Aval Anachnu Chatanu, that's vidui, and once you say that, so then we're done. And we see that with Maisa Rav, meaning that was clearly demonstrated by Shmuel after hearing the words Aval Anachnu Chatanu. So good. So now he gets up. Now he leaves. Amr Shmamina, you can redo it, Haihu. Okay, good. And now Maisa Rav, I learned from the Maisa of Shmuel that is vidui. That line encapsulates and is in fact vidui. Okay. All right. So, that was the entirety of the Gemara. It's amazing. It's the entirety of the Gemara regarding vidui and Yom Kippur. Again, for us, vidui and Yom Kippur is like, you know, it really typifies, it is everything regarding Yom Kippur. And now we learned in a couple of short lines of the of today's daf, really yesterday's daf, in terms of when vidui is said, the difference between the silent shemoneh esrei, the tefillat zibur, in terms of where vidui is said, what the nusach of vidui is said, various samaraim have different nuschos. Good. I don't know. I don't know all the nuschos. You know, I daven Ashkenaz year in year out, but I'm sure that you know the there's just simply a collection of the various nuschos and incorporated into our davening. Okay, fine. Let's move along. We are Tanan Hasan. We're about to learn a Mishnah in Tanis. The Mishnah in Tanis is going to introduce us to another Shemona Esrei, and that's what's called Ne'ila. So when do we daven Ne'ila? So for us, for you and I, we daven it one time a year, and that's of course in Yom Kippur. What is Ne'ila? So hold that thought, because the Gemara is going to ask that very question. And the Gemara is going to answer that question. And the Gemara is going to have a machlokas about what Ne'ila is. So before we get to what the Ne'ila is, so let's just acknowledge that Ne'ila is it's extra. It's extra davening that is added to Yom Kippur, to other days as well. Now, I say to other days as well, but for us, there are no other days in which we say Ne'ila, meaning Bizmanenu, Yom Kippur is the only one, is the only time of the year that we have this opportunity to say this extra tefillah. So and what is it? So the Rashi over here quotes the Yerushalmi. Okay, I know that we haven't gotten to it yet in the Gemara, but it's okay. Rashi over here says that the actual term Ne'ila is debated in a Yerushalmi. It's not often that Rashi is going to be quoting a Gemara Yerushalmi. Rashi obviously knew the Gemara Yerushalmi, but doesn't cite it much, and here he does. Right, you can see the Rashi Nachitz Kamei Derava. So he's quoting the bracha, the Gemara Brachas Yerushalmi. After that, I could not tell you where, but okay. Chanamar Ne'ila Shari Shamayim. Ne'ila means that the gates of Shamayim are closing. All right, obviously not perceptible to you and I, but nevertheless, that's what it represents. In other words, there's a certain opening that's provided for us in Yom Kippur. Kipshuta, we all understand. Yom Kippur affords us opportunities to connect in ways that we cannot do any other time of the year. And then obviously as Yom Kippur comes to an end, so the Shar is closing, the Ne'ila Shar Shamayim is closing. So that's one way to understand Ne'ila v'chad amar Ne'ila Shari Azara. Now there is another opinion in the Gemara Yerushalmi that's referring to the gates of the Azara, in which they're closing. Now, what this is making reference to, so I'm going to be honest, I don't know. Okay. But nevertheless, the Yerushalmi and Brachos has a debate in terms of what the term actually comes from. Okay, so how do we know about Ne'ila? And this is just another oddity. We do not know it based on the Mishnayos in Yuma. Meaning, we finished the Mishnayos in Yuma. We're done. Right? We only have the Gemara left to cover. And we didn't hear about Ne'ila. So where do we hear about Ne'ila? We hear in the Mishnayos in Tanis. Okay, it's a bit strange, but that's why we're going to now quote the Mishnah in Tanis, Tanan Hasam. So let's pick it up. So there are going to be three times a year where the Kohanim are going to be duchening, and they're going to be duchening every tefillah, and sometimes it can amount to four times in one day. So, and that would be Shachrus, Musaf, Mincham, Ne'ila. So on an occasion where you're going to be davening four times. Now obviously there's Marv on the night prior, but there's no duchening at night. That's why we're not mentioning the Marv right now on the night prior. But in other words, you wake up in the morning on Yom Kippur and you're davening four tefillahs that day. Truth of the matter is that there's also a Marv to talk about as well. We're going to get to the Marv post Yom Kippur. But meanwhile, there's going to be Shachris Musaf Mincha Ne'ilas Hasharim. And so those four times now, the Kohen's going to be duchening during every one of the tefillahs. Why? So the answer is very simple. Well, let me just first finish the Mishnah. Ve'ila in Shlosha Prakim, Betanios of Amamados of Yom Kippurim. So Tanis over here means Tanis Sibor. Right? Not, in other words, not our Tanios. Right? Our Tanios that are Tanios to remind ourselves of Churban Beis HaMikdash, right? Some more halachically demanding than others. For those, that's not what is being made reference to over here. Right? And obviously, we all know, there's no Ne'ila on those Tanios. The Mishnah in Tanis is referring to Tanis Sibor. And the Mishnah is making reference to Ma'amados. Okay, if you haven't gone through the Gemara in Tanis, so you certainly can be excused for not knowing what Ma'amados are, right? It's Ma'amados, obviously we haven't had since the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. So what happens is that as there are Mishmaros for the Kohanim and the Levim, so there are also Mishmaros for B'nai Yisrael as well. meaning that what's going to happen is that members of various communities throughout Yisrael are going to be representing the Jewish people vis-a-vis the Avoda. Now, they're not doing the Avoda, obviously. Avoda is being done by the Kohanim and the Levim. But what they're going to do is they're going to have special davening and tzom and special Kriyas HaTorah during the week in which they're representing the Jewish people. So basically, they're going to be like tefillah on steroids, if you will. So that's the ma'amado. So in the week that you are practicing your ma'amados, so you're going to be fasting. So in other words, basically what we just learned together in the Mishnah Tanya is that there are three different fast days in which you're going to be saying ne'ilah. And that's going to be Tanya's ma'amados Yom Kippurim. Now it does say, the Mishnah does say that there are going to be four times in the day. And Rashi over here notes the Gemara in Tanya says that it's not on all four of these, not on all three of these occasions, that there are going to be four tefillahs in the day. For example, ma'amados, there's no musaf of ma'amados. So what the Mishnah means, this is just the correct shot in the Mishnah and Tanis, is that of them, there could be a total possible of four times where you're going to be duchening during that day. Why duchening the whole day? And the answer is very simple. Because why not? why not duchen the whole day? Meaning duchening is a mitzvah min haTorah. And so every time you daven, so you duchen. Let's turn the question around. Why don't we duchen the entire day? Now, we Ashkenazim and Chutz Aretz don't duchen at all. So let's exclude us from the conversation. Okay, so and it's a mystery. It's one of those halachic mysteries in terms of what happened to our duchening. Right, the Vilna Gaon. I've told you this before. The Vilna Gaon was really upset that somehow duchening disappeared amongst the Anshei Ashkenaz. It disappeared, and there are attempted explanations to explain why it is. There's a Ramah, a really interesting Ramah, which I'm not going to go through right now. But nevertheless, it disappeared. Okay. So, but for those who do duchen, so that would be the Bnei Sfard. It would be everybody in Eretz Yisrael, Ashkenazim, Sfardim. So when do we duchen? So we duchen in the morning. So why not duchen at Mincha? So the answer is, it's a funny answer, but it's a correct answer. And the answer is because we are, between Shacharis and Mincha, we're having a meal. And during the meal, we're probably going to drink. And so you're going to be under some influence. You're going to be slightly, let's say, impaired. Okay. And you're not allowed to duchen. Duchening is like a form of avoda, and you can't duchen while impaired. So so that is why we don't duchen. So on a fast day where there's no eating, so nobody's going to be drinking, nobody's inebriated. So that's why we duchen the entire day of a fast day. Good. So now the Mishnah has taught us that there's something called Ne'ilah. Now, we know in the Mishnah Tanis, we just established that there's something called Ne'ilah. Good. Now we get to ask a simple follow-up question. What is Ne'ilah? So my Ne'ilah Sharim. So Rav Amar Tzlusi Yisrael, so Rav says it's an extra Shemoneh Esrei. So that means to say that on the day in which we say Ne'ilah, again, for us, there's only one day that we say Ne'ilah, it's Yom Kippur. So on a day that we say Ne'ilah, so it means that we're going to be adding another Shemoneh Esrei. Now, everyone's looking around. Isn't that correct? Yeah, I mean, of course it's correct. But in the Gemara, that's one Shita. Shmuel doesn't agree. Shmuel amar menu mechayenu. So Shmuel says, no, it's a tefillah. It's a tefillah with extra slicha. But in other words, but it's not Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, good. So we have a machlokas amongst the Amorim. What exactly is Ne'ilah? Meisvei, the Gemara says, okay. So we have now two opinions. And the opinion of Shmuel is that Ne'ilah is not a Shemoneh Esrei. And meanwhile, the Gemara is going to quote a brisa, and in this brisa, it couldn't be any clearer. So, or Yom HaKippurim, or over here means the night of Yom Kippur, right? As per the first Mishnah Psachim. Or Yom HaKippurim, Mispal Sheva Misvada. B'Shachris, Mispal Sheva Misvada, B'Musav, Mispal Sheva Misvada, B'Mincha Mispala, Sheva U'Misvada, B'Ni'ila, Mispal Sheva U'Misvada. So here we have a brisa that says, with tremendous clarity, that Ne'ilah is made up of a Shemoneh Esrei. And so you're davening a Shemoneh Esrei for your Ne'ilah, and you're also adding Vidui in that Shemoneh Esrei because it's Yom Kippur. Okay, this obviously does not do well for Shmuel's position. Now, in terms of the Girsa, we're going to take out the words Tanaihi. Okay, you can, right, you could replace it with Visu Tanya. We learned in another Brisa. Yom HaKippurim, it's just another brisa that's going to make the same point. Yom HaKippurim im chashecha, so it's Yom Kippur, and we're approaching the end of Yom Kippur. So you'll dam Shimon Esrei, you'll say vidui, you'll do a chasima with the vidui. And v'chachamim or mispal shava if imrat salachtam bevidui chosim. And if you want to be, and if you want to conclude with a, conclude the bracha with a vidui, you may do so. Okay, exactly what the machlok is over here in the second brisa between Rav Meir and the chachamim. So Rashi spends a little bit of time trying to figure it out. Rashi quotes a pshat of his Rebbe. Rashi quotes his own pshat. Okay, for our purposes right now, the point of the second, and by the way, the Gaon takes out this entire nusach altogether from the Gemara. The point of all this is that we just saw one and maybe even a second brisa that clearly tells us that Ne'ilah is Shemona Esrei. And so what's Shmuel going to do now, not only about one brisa, but maybe even a second brisa as well. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta to Shmuel, Tiyufta. Okay. So when all said and done, Shmuel is a really difficult position to defend. And the Gemara ends up saying, and there really is no defense. Meaning we've refuted Shmuel's position. And now we could say definitively that Ne'ilah is in fact a Shmona Esrei. Again, that's our practice. So we already knew what the conclusion was going to be. Okay. A couple of episodes. Ula Barav. Nachis kamei derava. So Ula Barav now is davening for the Amud. Right? Nachis, right? We've said this numerous times. Nachis means that he descended, he went down. So, when you daven for the Amud, so you should be going into a pit. Right? Mimamakim karisicha Hashem. And so therefore it should be some sort of depression in the ground and you're davening in that depression. Good. Moshels that I've seen in my lifetime just do the opposite. So right, so there's an elevated platform in which the Shliach Tzibur is going to daven in. Okay, I mentioned the shul. I grew up in Livingston, but anyway, now the Twin Cities, West Orange, New Jersey. Right, one of the only shuls I've seen in my lifetime that actually has it, a depression in the ground where the Shliach Tzibur is going to be davening from. Okay. Anyway, so Ula Barav Nachis Kamei DeRava. So he davens in front of Rava Pasach Be'ata V'Chartanu V'Siim Be'Me'anu Me'Chayenu. Okay, so in other words, so for Ne'ilah, so he opened up with a Tavech Chartanu, meaning he's talking about the middle bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei, and he ends Me'anu Me'Chayenu. In other words, not exactly sure how the nusach came out, but the basic idea is that he inserted Vidui Slicha towards the end of the bracha. Right, v'siyem, he concluded, meaning it's either was the actual chasima, it was right before the chasima, either way, shavchei, and basically he got an approbation, right? Rava heard this nusach and Rava loved it, right? Generally speaking, whenever the Gemara tells us a story about a shlech sibra davening in front of an amora, it usually doesn't end well. In other words, there usually is criticism that comes about. Okay, good, it's good to hear. It ended well. Rav Huna Bereid, Rav Nasan Amar, Rav Yachid Omer, Achar Tfilaso. So, as far as Yachid is concerned, meaning when he's davening Ne'ilah, so when should he say the Vidui? Achar Tfilaso. Okay, a point that we made already earlier this morning. Good, we get to reiterate again. Okay, Adkan, that is a short piece of Gemara introducing us to Ne'ilah with a simple question. What is Ne'ilah? And so when all said and done, Ne'ilah is an extra tefillah that we say on Yom Kippur. Okay, good. Now, Amar Rav. Get to a really interesting discussion over here in the Gemara. So when do we say Ne'ilah? So as Rashi quoted the Gemara Yerushalmi, we went over it just a little bit earlier. So it represents now Ne'ilah Sasha'arim. Okay, the gates are going to be closed, which means that basically we know that Ne'ilah said towards the end of Yom Kippur, right? See the Shulchan Aruch, see the Mishnah Berurah, in terms of the optimal time in which you should be starting Ne'ilah. But for our purposes right now, suffice to say that as Yom Kippur now is coming to a conclusion, you're saying it. So now we also know the following, that after Ne'ilah, so Yom Kippur is over, and now what, you get to go home and eat? Just wait one moment, we have to daven Ma'ariv. Good. In other words, it's now the next day, halachically, and now you're going to be davening Tefillas Ma'ariv the next day. Amar Rav, Tefillas Ne'ilah Poter Shoshal Arvis. Okay, so Rav says the following, that when it comes to Ne'ilah, so you daven Ne'ilah, so that now satisfies your obligation of Marv, meaning you don't have to daven Marv. You see, you daven Ne'ilah. Now, as will become clear and evident as we go through the Gemara over here, so Rav is clearly of the position that you could be davening Ne'ilah at night. In other words, the idea that it could substitute Marv must by definition mean that you're saying it at the same time where you could have said Marv, i.e. at night. Good. So so Rav says that once you say Ne'ilah, you no longer need to say Marv. Now, Rav Latamid Amr Tzulsi Yaserahi. So first of all, Let's go back and let's just reiterate that it was the same Rav that we learned about 10 lines ago that what is Ne'ilah? Ne'ilah is a tefillah. Good. And now I'm davening Ne'ilah at night and I also need to say Ma'ariv. Good. So now you could double dip. Okay, so your Ne'ilah now counts as Ne'ilah and it also counts for your Ma'ariv as well. Now that you daven Ne'ilah, so there's no need for you to daven Ma'ariv. Good. Now, Umi Amar Rav Achiv Amar Rav Alachi Kedivra Amar Tfilas Arvish Vashos. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Pattering Ma'ariv makes it sound like Ma'ariv is an obligation. The Gemara in Brachos has a full-blown machlokis about whether the tefillah of Ma'ariv is a Rishus or a Chova. Good. And I say full-blown machlokis. Everyone remember, right? People lost their jobs over this machlokis as to whether or not the tefillah of Ma'ariv is a Rishus or a Chova. Rabbi Gamliel had it out with Rabbi Yoshua as to whether or not the tefillah, that Ma'ariv is a Rishus or a Chova. And Rabbi Gamliel was so upset with the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua that he called him out, had him stand up, publicly embarrass him. Rabbi Gamliel was deposed from his position. Rav Elazar ben Azariah took over the position. And then they fell back. The story goes on. Okay. See the Gemara and Brachos over there. Chav Zion goes through the entire episode. Anyway, I don't fully understand of all the things to debate about how this turned into such a major debate. And it's important, obviously, but I'm not totally following how this became such a such a fundamental machlokas. People lost their jobs. Whatever. But anyway, it happens to be that the Rav's of the position that tefillah Ma'ariv is a Rishus. So what do you mean you need to potter your tefillah Ma'ariv? According to Rav, there's no obligation. So the Gemara says, L'divrei Omer Chova Kamar. The Gemara says, yeah, you're right. Meaning Rav's own shita is that Ma'ariv is not a Chova, it's a Rishus. So Enachinami, according to Rav himself, so there's no need to potter it. But Rav understands and appreciates that he's not the only voice on this matter. There are others who disagree with him. And for those who disagree with him, so he's telling them that if you're davening Ne'ilah at night, so that's gonna potter your Ma'ariv. Good. That's the understanding of Rav. All right. Let's go on. Meitzvah, the Gemara challenges, or Yom Kippurim. No, I'm sorry, even before we go on. Just a couple of short words about Tfilas Ma'ariv being a Rishus. First of all, Tosfos. You can see Tosfos over here. It's a long Tosfos on our Amud. Tosfos also in Brachos as well has the same discussion, right? What's the Gemara's conclusion over there in Brachos? The Gemara's conclusion is that Tfilas Ma'ariv is a Rishus. It's optional. It's not obligatory. Okay. If you were to stop listening right now, okay, so you would walk away with an incorrect conclusion. So that means I don't have to daven Ma'ariv. And no, we do have to daven Ma'ariv. So what does it mean that Tfilas Ma'ariv is a Rishus? So Tosfos throughout Shas, right in Brachos, and right here. So Tosfos says that Rishus just simply means that if you have a counter pressure. So in other words, so you can dispense with Ma'ariv, considering that if there's another obligation that's pushing you right now. In general, we do say that if you're Osek B'mitzvah, you're going to be potter from doing other mitzvahs. But the idea, says Tosfos, is that if you are not doing anything, so you can't just simply opt out of Ma'ariv, you still have to say Ma'ariv. That's Tosfos' understanding of Tfilas Ma'ariv is a Rishus. The Rambam, similar, not exactly like Tosfos, the Rambam also poskens that Tfilas Ma'ariv is a Rishus, but the Rambam writes, and forgive me, I don't have the Rambam in front of me right now, so I'm simply paraphrasing, but the Rambam writes that the Jewish people have accepted upon themselves to daven Ma'ariv, meaning even though the Gemara's conclusion is since optional, but the Rambam says it's Minag Yisrael. Now, Minag, by the way, not to be confused with the modern usage of the word Minag. Minag means that this is the accepted Jewish practice, is that we daven Ma'ariv. Good, that's the Rambam. So even though, yes, it is the correct conclusion to say that Tfilas Ma'ariv is a Rishus, it's also not the correct conclusion to say that we could just simply dispense with Ma'ariv. Okay. Right, correct. Meisvei, the Gemara now challenges, or Yom HaKippur, Mispal Sheva Mizvada, Shachri Sheva Mizvada, Musaf Sheva Mizvada, Benila Mispal Sheva Mizvada, Arvin Mispal Sheva Main Shmona Esrei, Rabbi Chaninas Ben Gamliel Mishum Avosav Mispal Shmona Esrei Shleimos. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa, and in the Braisa, so there is a difference of opinions, but before we get to the difference of opinions, here's what they all agree to. Okay, and again, I'm not going to go through every point of the Braisa over here. You get the basic idea. Every time you daven, you're going to be saying vidui. And then you say ni'ila at the end of Yom Kippur, and then you're going to say vidui. And then in this brisa, and then you're going to be davening ma'ariv. Meaning, despite the fact that you said ni'ila, you're also going to be davening ma'ariv as well. Now, in terms of what the ma'ariv is going to look like on Motzei Yom Kippur, so there's the machlokas in the brisa that we just went through. According to the Tanakhama, it's going to be abbreviated. It'll be a truncated ma'ariv. Why? So Rashi says, because you're exhausted. Right, you've been davening the whole day. You're fasting the whole day, so you're exhausted. So in acknowledgement of how exhausted we all are, so an abbreviated Shmone Esrei. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel says no. It's got to be a full Shmone Esrei. Why? Because we know it's the end of Yom Kippur has come to an end, and we have to say Atachon Antanu, and there is no Atachon Antanu in the abbreviated form of Shmone Esrei. So you got to say the full Shmone Esrei. And of course, that's our practice, is to say the full Shmone Esrei on Motzei Yom Kippur. Anyway, what comes out in this brisa is really clear, which is that even though you daven Nila, you still have to daven Mariv. And that's not like Rav. So the Gemara says Tanahi, as now we're on top of Peches Amadal, the Gemara says, Hamachlokes HaTanayim. Detanya will enter the brisa, Kol Chai V'Tfilas Tovlin Kedarkam, Yama Kippurim. So let's say you have a mitzvah, a chiyuv of tefillah. You have to tovel in the mikvah. Now we learned in the beginning of this parak, there's an Isra Rechitza. You're not allowed to bathe, you're not allowed to wash in Yom Kippur. That's true. Rechitza shel tanug. If you're washing because you want to be cleaner, in other words, you want to feel fresher, that you're not allowed to do in Yom Kippur. However, the tefillah of a mitzvah, that's not considered rechitza shel tanug, that you're allowed to do in Yom Kippur. And so, therefore, the brisa says, so you're going to be toveling on Yom Kippur. Neither yolas tefillos tovels kedark and balayla Yom Kippurim. So, as far as the need, as far as the yolas is concerned, you tovel at night. Those are the two occasions in which tefillah is actually done at night, not during the day. Baal keri tovel v'holech ad amincha. And as far as the Baal keri is concerned, so he's going to be toveling during the daytime, up until mincha. Rabbi Yossi omer kol yom kulo. And Rabbi Yossi said he could tovel the entire day. Okay. What comes out over here in this brisa is that we are clearly working with a position. I'm sorry, we're working with a machlokas. And that if you're a Baal Keri and it's post mincha, so should you are you afforded the opportunity to tovel at any point after that on Yom Kippur itself? How does this have anything to do with our discussion about whether or not Ni'ilah is going to pater Marv or not pater Marv? So Rashi explains, and I'm going to paraphrase Rashi over here. I'm not going to read Rashi inside, but Rashi explains like this. Look, let's get a couple of points very clear. A person's a Baal Keri, so what does that mean? So, well, what does it actually mean? It means he had a seminal emission. Okay, normally it'd be nocturnal. Okay, but awkwardly, right, and certainly indelicately, it can even be if he wasn't nocturnal. For whatever reason, if you have a seminal discharge, in other words, and not by being with his wife, because obviously it's Yom Kippur, and Tashmish Shemitah is Aser. Whatever, the person just, for without giving any more clarification, he just simply, he was a Baal Keri, on Yom Kippur. So now, what's the halacha? So we go back to a Takana of Ezra. So Ezra was Misakin, we saw this back in the Gemara and Brachos, Daf Chavdalin. So Ezra was Misakin that a Baal Keri cannot learn Torah, and a Baal Keri cannot daven. Oh. So if you're a Baal Keri on Yom Kippur, so now that's going to present a problem. Why? You can't daven. In other words, if you were a Baal Keri, let's say it was nocturnal, so you wake up in the morning, you can't say shacharis because you're a Baal Keri. So in other words, so the solution is actually very simple. You tovel in the mikvah. Now you can go daven, right? And the same thing would be true regarding mincha and musaf. Or let me go in the better order. Musaf and mincha. Okay, good. So if the person becomes a Baal Keri, you tovel in the mikvah as per Takanas Ezra, and then he'll daven. Happens to be that nowadays we no longer are holding by Takanas Ezra, right? The Gemara in Brachos also there in Chavdal, it says that nowadays, we've done away with Takanas Ezra. Okay. Who did away with it? That part's not clear.
Wasn't it accepted?
I mean, it was a Takana. I mean, he was misakin it. What's it called? It was Xerisha, right? Shatsebri and Yacholamodba. It could be. Okay, I don't remember. Yeah, I hear. I don't remember the Gemara well enough, but okay. Could very well be. So anyway, we're obviously the Bryce over here is describing where Takanas Ezra was in force. Now, So you're a Baal Keri Tov in the mikvah. Now, let's say it's post-mincha, okay, on Yom Kippur. And the person awkwardly became a Baal Keri at that point in time. Okay, now what? So now he still has Ni'ila to go. So over here, we see a machlokus in the bracelet that we just learned together. So the Tanakhama says that don't tovel in the mikvah. And Rav Yossi says no tovel in the mikvah. Okay, so now as Rashi understands, here's the machlokus. Machlokus goes like this. According to the Tanakhama, don't tovel in the mikvah. Why not? Because you know when you can daven Ni'ila? You don't have to daven it now. You'll daven Ni'ila tonight. And so therefore, what will you do? You'll wait to tovel in the mikvah. In other words, you don't have to tovel on Yom Kippur. You could tovel now, post Yom Kippur. And then after toveling in the mikvah, now you'll go back and you'll daven Ni'ila. And now that you daven Ni'ila at night, so what is that going to do in terms of your ma'ariv is concerned? It'll potter your ma'ariv. That's the Tanakhama. Meanwhile, according to Rav Yossi, Rav Yossi says no. Rav Yossi says that, if you became a Baal Keri post Mincha, you're going to have to tovel. Why? Because you have to say Ni'ila. When are you going to say Ni'ila? Before nighttime. And so therefore you're required to tovel in the mikvah because you're going to have to say Ni'ila before night. And that means now, good. So now you understand. So whether or not Ni'ila is going to pater your ma'ariv is really going to be a function of whether or not you're allowed to say Ni'ila at night. In the braisa that we just learned together, according to the Tanakhama, you are allowed to say Ni'ila at night. And according to Rav Yossi of the braisa we just learned together, you're not allowed to say Ni'ila at night. Ni'ila has to be said during the day. Okay. So so it turns out now that this position of Rav turns into a machlokes hatanayim in terms of whether or not Ni'ila is going to pater your ma'ariv. Okay. Uriminu, the Gemara says, okay, as we are now on the top of Peches Amad Aleph, the Gemara says, I have a stira. And the stira goes like this. So you have all these people who require tefillah. Okay, I'm not going to go through each one of them right now. So tovlim kedarkan, biyom kippurim. So they're going to be toveling, as per usual on Yom Kippur. Nida v'yoledes tovos kedarkan b'layla yom kippurim. And in Nida and Yoledes, they're going to be toveling on Lel Yom Kippur. And Baal Keri tova v'holechol yom kulo. And as far as a Baal Keri is concerned, so he'll tovel the whole day. Okay, as we discussed previously. Now clearly what's strange over here, the Nida's toveling in the mikvah on Lel Yom Kippur. What? Right? Why? So as will become clear and evident, and the Gemara is going to say it, but I'll just give it away right now, because the author of this brisa clearly is of the position. Well, first of all, it goes without saying. Let me before I give away the answer. It goes without saying that she's not going to go home to her husband that night and be with her husband. It's Yom Kippur. It's one of the chameshes and inuyim on Yom Kippur is Tashma Shemita. So why is she toveling in the mikvah? So the answer is it's because tefillah bizmana mitzvah. The author of this brisa clearly is of the position that if it's now your first opportunity to tovel, so toveling at your first opportunity is a mitzvah. Remember the Gemara Nida? This is subject to a machlokas. We're going to be touching on that machlokas in just a moment. But according to the Tana of the author of this brisa, so that's why you're toveling, even the Nida is toveling on Yom Kippur. And Rabbi Yossi, Amrei Minna Mincha Lamela Ein Yachol Litbol, Rabbi Yossi says, no, Minna Mincha Ulamala Ein Yachol Litbol, you can't tovel. Okay, so what just happened over here is that in the second brisa, the Rav Yossi is exactly the opposite of the previous Rav Yossi. Meaning on the brisa, that in one brisa ago, we had Rav Yossi saying, Kol Yom Kula, you're going to be toveling the whole day. And in this brisa, so Min HaMincha LaMala, you cannot tovel. So we have our Rav Yossi's on a stira. So Lo Kasha Hadat Sali Tfilas Ni'ila Hadalot Sali. So the Gemara says, well, it's very simple. The difference is whether or not you daven Ni'ila or not. Meaning, if you're already daven Ni'ila, so then obviously you're not going to tovel. In other words, there's no need for you to tovel. You'll just simply wait till nighttime. If you haven't daven Ni'ila yet, so then you're going to tovel in the mikvah. So the Gemara says, really? So Eidat Sali Mai Tam Adarabanan. So the Gemara says, really? So you daven Ni'ila already, and the Chachamim said you're still going to tovel in the mikvah? How does that? Why? But I gave away the answer already. But the Gemara says it. Kasavri Rabbanan Tfilah Bezmana Mitzvah. Oh, because the Chachamim are of the opinion that, yeah, even though you davened already and there's no need to tovel vis-a-vis your davening, however, this is your first opportunity to tovel. Your first opportunity to tovel represents a mitzvah. That's what's called Tfilah Bezmana. And so the Tanakhama of that second brisa is of the position, Tfilah Bezmana is mitzvah. Good. Where does that put Rav Yossi on that issue? Because Rav Yossi argues with the Tanakhama. And now the Gemara notes, Michlal, the Rav Yossi Savar, Lav Mitzvah. Well, that, of course, means that according to Rav Yossi, it's not a mitzvah, because Rav Yossi says that if you daven ne'ilah already, and you're a Baal Keri, so what do? You wait, and you'll tovel tonight. You missed your first opportunity. Okay, Rav Yossi's of the position that tefillah b'zman is not a mitzvah. It's a good pshan, Rav Yossi. What's the problem? Vihatanya. The problem is that we know otherwise, or at least we think we know otherwise. We have another brisa. Now, hopefully this will sound familiar. We did this brisa 80 days ago in the daf, right? This came up on daf ches in Yuma. We're now in daf peches. So a short 80 days ago, we did this brisa. Harishaya, shame chasav al bisaro. So, somebody wrote Shem Hashem on his skin. Okay? It's not a tattoo over here. Whatever. You just ink. So, hareze lo yirchat, velo yasach, velo yama, b'melcha matinofas. So, don't wash it off. There's an issa to erase Shem Hashem. So, and that of course means don't bathe. And don't put oil there. And don't stand in a dirty place. Nizdamna lo tfila mitzvah korech alav gemi, v'yorid v'tovel. If he had a tefillas mitzvah, so what he'll do is they'll just wrap you'll wrap some reed around and you'll tovel in the mikvah. Rabbi Yossi Omer Yor v'tova kedarko uvavashal yishavshiv. Rabbi Yossi says what? No. Don't look for anything right now. Don't get a band-aid. Don't look for any kind of bandages. Run into the mikvah right now. Why? Why, according to Rav Yossi, you're running into the mikvah right now, despite the fact you have Shem Hashem Kasuv, despite the fact that you going into the mikvah will probably erase Shem Hashem, but you're not doing it b'yadayim, by the way. You're doing it, it's happening mimeila. That's a passive, it's passive, it's not active. But anyway, but why? Why are you running? V'kaim alan detvila b'zman mitzvah pligi. So the Gemara says, because Rav Yossi of that price is of the position that you told them the mikvah, your first opportunity, that is a mitzvah. And so, and that's why, don't waste your time right now looking for bandages. Okay. And it's not a violation of Mechias Hashem because you're not actively erasing. Okay. So obviously now we are stuck between another stira where in the previous brisa we had Rav Yossi saying that tefillah b'zman lav mitzvah. And in this brisa that we just learned together, Rav Yossi is of the position that tefillah b'zman is a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Ayi Rabbi Yossi bar Yehudihi. So the Gemara says, okay, two different Rav Yossis. There is the Stam Rav Yossi, Rashi says Rav Yossi ben Chalafta, and then there's another Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, and we just got a Rav Yossi's confused, that's all. D'tanya, we learned the Brisa, Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, Omer, Dayi L'tfila, Shetehei Ba'acharona. So it's sufficient for Tfila to be Ba'acharona. Now, this I will say really succinctly, there is a Gemara in Nida, a really extraordinarily difficult Gemara in Nida, that talks about a woman who came back, she was pregnant, she's no longer pregnant. What happened, she doesn't know. When did it happen, she doesn't know. And, something came out of her. She discharged something. And as a result of that, there are a lot of possibilities. She was a Yoledes, she was a Yoledes Bezov, she was a Yoledes Zachar, she was a Yoledes Nekeva. She has to go, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna stop at this point in time. The Gemara over there goes over what her schedule is going to look like in order for her to become Tahora. Oh, good, it's such a good memory. So Shitas Beis Shammai over there is that she tovels 95 times. Shitas Beis Hillel is she's going to tovel 35 times over a schedule, over a course of 13 weeks. Okay, and obviously it's the details are important, but not for now. When we get to the Gemara Nida, at the end of Shas, Mirtz Hashem, so we'll go through it again together. But in the meantime, however, that is the Shita Beis Shammai, and that's the Shita Beis Hillel. And meanwhile, Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, and now we know which Rav Yossi it is. Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda says, just wait till the end. You'll tovel one time at the end. Okay, good. And that means that Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda holds that tefillah b'zmana is lav mitzvah. Okay. Adkan. So, when all is said and done, that was a...
In that case, the b'zmana is in doubt. So then,
okay.
So Rav Yossi doesn't disturb because
It's a fair point. I hear your point. I'll tell you what. It's when we get to the Gemara over there, we'll discuss in more detail. We've just demonstrated that it's Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda. That's the whole point of the Gemara. Okay. What comes out from all this, complicated piece of Gemara that we just ran through. What comes out from all this is that, when is the proper time to say Ne'ilah? So it's a Machlokas Hatanayim. And now attached to that Machlokas is also going to be another question of whether or not if Nila can actually substitute for Maariv. So in other words, once you're of the position that Nila can be said at night, So that means to say that Nila is also going to is going to serve as an override for Maariv. It'll pater your Maariv. There also happens to be another machlokus whether Maariv is a Rishus or whether it's a Chova. Rav happens to be of the position that Maariv is a Rishus, not a Chova. So he doesn't even need a Pator. But the Gemara says, okay, but he was talking about for those people who hold that Maariv is a Chova. So, but Nila said at night, and therefore it's going to pater you from your Maariv. Good. That's, and if Ni'ila is not said at night, but Ni'ila is rather said towards the end of Yom Kippur, obviously it's not going to pater. It's not going to pater your Maariv. Where do we land on that? Where the Gemara lands on that? It's a machlokas. Machlokas atanayim. We saw Shitas Rav. We saw a number of Brisa that said that you daven Ni'ila and you daven Maariv as well. Okay. And then the Gemara also aligned it with another machlokas of a person becomes a Balkeri on Yom Kippur itself. And he already davened most of the tefillos of Yom Kippur. He only has Ni'ila left to go. So should he tovel to daven Ni'ila? This also is going to be connected to that machlokas. If Ni'ila can be pushed off until tonight, so don't tovel right now in Yom Kippur. Wait till tonight. Tovel and daven Ni'ila. If, however, Ni'ila needs to be said on Yom Kippur itself, so then you'll have to tovel now in order to daven. Again, all this presupposing that we subscribe to Takanas Ezra, which nowadays we don't, but that also would be connected as well. Okay. One more piece of Gemara. Let's go through it. Tanu Rabbanan. Haro Keri B'Yom Kippurim Yard V'Tovel La'Erev Yishav Shef. So, someone who is about Keri on Yom Kippur, so he'll Tovel, and then, the night following, so then he'll clean himself well to make sure there's no Chatzitza. To which the Gemara says, what? What? You're making sure there's no Chatzitza after you Tovel the Mikvah? That's really strange. And not only strange, what's the point? La'Erev Ma'idah Hava Hava. You Tovel the Mikvah already. If he had a chatzitza, the tefillah was no good. And if he didn't have a chatzitza, the tefillah was fine. But scrubbing yourself now, it's a health nisht. So elayema mi be'erev yishav shef. So the Gemara says, no, what it means is that what you do is you do a scrubbing before Yom Kippur. Okay. I don't want to pretend like I understand. Meaning that you're going to do a chafifa before Yom Kippur in the event that you become a Balkari on Yom Kippur. Okay. And on top of that, Minhag Yisrael is, okay, I don't know, it's a very good point, but I don't know if they were holding by that Minhag. Minhag Yisrael is to go to the mikvah before Yom Kippur. Okay. Tini Tana Kama de Rav Nachman, I skipped the parentheses. Tini Tana Kama de Rav Nachman, I wrote Keri B'Yom Kippurim, Avonosav Mochlin Lo. A person becomes about Keri Yom Kippur. Rashi makes the obvious point, let's make it, and that is, bonus, right, Be'enu Miskaving. In other words, right, nocturnal emission is the easiest way to explain it, right? But a person becomes a Balkari Yom Kippur. Good thing or a bad thing? Oddly enough, machlokas, right here in our Gemara. So, avonosav mechulin lo. So according to a brisa that was said over in front of Rav Nachman, so that means that you're avonosav mechulin. It certainly runs counterintuitive, and I certainly don't have a good explanation in terms of why that should be. Right? If anything, on the day of Yom Kippur, where we are supposed to, we are forbidden from having Tashmish Amitah, and it seems like to have a nocturnal emission would be, to the best of our ability, discouraged. Like, it's strange that there's that opinion that says it's a good siman min hashamayim. It's hard to understand, hard for me to explain, because I don't have an explanation. The Hatanya, we learned in another brisa, avonos of sidurin. Now it says that your avonos are basically going to be collected right in front of you. Meaning, if you become a Balkari Yom Kippur, it sounds like from this brisa just the opposite, right? It's a bad simon. So no, my sidurin li machal. So the Gemara says no. The second brisa could be understood to mean the following. It means that your avonos are going to be organized so that a Kosh Baruch Hu can be mochal each one of them. Right, to give you not a good mushel, but like in other words, it's basically all the bowling pins have been organized, set up, and so now Yom Kippur can knock it all down. Good. Time to be Rabbi Shmuel. I wrote Keri B'Yom Kippurim Yida Kol Hashana Kula. So if a person is about carrying Yom Kippur, so for the whole year, so he should be in a state of anxiety. I understand that a person should not be in a state of anxiety, but for this he should be. V'im Alta Lo Shana Muftach Lo Shu Ben Olam Haba. Now, if you made it through the year, so good. So now, that is a good simon. So according to this Mesorah, Tanu Debei Rabbi Shmuel, in of itself being about carrying Yom Kippur is not good, but yeah, if you were, and you made it through the year, then Right? That's a good thing. Am Rav Nachman Yitzchak Teda Shekol Olam Kula Rai Vehu Savea. Now the Gemara itself gives a svara in terms of why it's a good simon. So because because the rest of the world is raev, meaning this is one of the abstinences of Yom Kippur. It's one of the inuyim of Yom Kippur, not to engage in Tashmish Amita. And meanwhile, so again, below miskaven, it's an obvious point, but I don't mind reiterating it. So below miskaven, but you were not raev, you were savea, you had nocturnal emission. So that's why it's a good simon. Okay, so kiyas Rav Dimi Amar mafish chaya sagim maske, and Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael and he says, yeah, it means that you basically are showing vitality, and it means that basically you're virile and you're going to have children and a lot of children. Okay, hadron. Okay, we'll stop over here. Let's review. Okay, let's see the parts of our daf today that we covered. Number one, so we talked about vidui, the insertion of vidui into every tefillah of Yom Kippur, and the vidui that said before Yom Kippur as well, the mincha before Yom Kippur. The nusach of vidui, the Gemara went through a half dozen of views of what the nusach of vidui is going to sound like. And then what we discussed for the rest of today's daf, basically ne'ila. Okay, what is ne'ila? Machlok is Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara sided with Rav. It's a tefillah yaseira. It's an extra tefillah. It's lusi yaseira. When is ne'ila said? Sometime towards the end of Yom Kippur, but a machlokus whether it should be the end of Yom Kippur, or it could even be postponed until the night of Yom Kippur. And if it's postponed until the night of Yom Kippur, so then whether or not it could replace your ma'arif. Good. And then the braisa support each of these positions. And then, okay, good. And then the rest of today's daf, we just covered being a balkar in Yom Kippur, vis-a-vis the time period where we were holding by Takanas Ezra and your requirement to tovel the mikvah so that you can daven from that point going forward. What if you were a balkari post mincha Yom Kippur? So do you need to tovel Yom Kippur? Machlokas Tanayim, predicated on 2 points. Rashi makes this very clear, by the way, on 2 separate points. Number one, predicated on whether or not tefillah bezmana is a mitzvah or not a mitzvah. Also predicated on whether or not Neil could be postponed until the evening. All right, 2 separate issues. And finally, the last thing that we discussed today is being a balkari in Yom Kippur, right? Certainly an indelicate discussion, but a person who belong in Miskavim becomes a balkari in Yom Kippur, good thing, bad thing, or somewhere in between.